Welcome to Common Ground. I'm your host, Pat Casale, and your other co-host will be Dean Schumann. Tonight's show will be a little bit more about being very informative. We're going to be talking about those robocalls we all experience. How many of you have experienced robocalls where somebody picks up the phone and you get a computer saying your credit card is going to be charged $99 unless you hit number one, we'll be taking this money out tomorrow? Or you've been getting a call from the Internal Revenue saying that you owe thousands of dollars, and if you don't make the payment, the police are going to come and arrest you. And my favorite one, of course, is that your Social Security number has been jeopardized, and we need you to cooperate with the Social Security Department. And I'm like, okay, I'll gladly do it. And I always give them the wrong name. I come up with a different Social Security number, and I give them all kinds of fraudulent information. And it's amazing how much money that person ends up owing. It blows my mind. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how is it possible in the sophistication of computers in the United States that our citizens can't be protected, and most importantly, senior citizens, because on your cell phones, you can receive phone calls that look like somebody you might know, and I'm a salesman, so if a person calls and I see a name, of course I answer it. And how many times is it somebody trying to sell me something, or it's a con? So we're going to talk about that and get down and deep, and we'd like to hear from you at 702-257-5396, 702-257-5396. Have you had this problem? Have you experienced this? Have you lost money because of this? And I want to say hello to my good friend, Dean Schumann. Welcome to the show, buddy.
How's it going? Feeling okay? Everybody good?
We're hanging in there.
Yeah, same here. Listen, this is a topic that it blows my mind because I've gotten three of those calls just in the last 2 weeks from the Social Security, where they say to the Social Security Department, and if I don't pay, they're going to, you know, the police are going to show up at my door. And it's just, it's some, telephone room in Pakistan. I mean, they're all Pakistani. I've actually followed through like you on them. And they'll admit to me at the end that they're, because they'll all come on the line and start swearing at me, and they say, I've had them say some heinous things, like they really just want to kill Americans and get Americans and scam Americans.
See,
and
they called you, they didn't call me, because my mother was in stitches. She almost fell to the ground laughing so hard.
Right.
Because here's what happened. I actually got the guy's number to call him back, and he answered the phone.
Oh, really?
And I go to him, I know where you live. When you come home tonight, your family will be tied, and before I kill them, you're going to get to watch.
Well,
I always say to them,
get out, the drone's coming, they'll be there in 5, 4, 3, you know.
Well, the best was the IRS were coming. I said, they're going to send the police to my house. I said, they better come out with SWAT. I'm armed to the teeth.
Right?
I got grenades. I got rocket launchers. Right. This is going to be fun. I mean, and that was that guy that I threatened. I mean, you know, it's amazing they don't even know your name.
Right.
And I will tell people need not to give their info. If somebody calls you on the phone and starts asking you for information, never give it up. They should know you.
Right.
The IRS or our Social Security call you on the phone,
they'll have your information.
If they ask you for your information, don't give it to them.
And then they ask people to go to 7-Eleven and get these particular gift cards and send it to them as payment. And then,
never happened.
People do it.
Well, you know why they used it? Because those cards, you can never get that money back.
Right.
And it's actually ironic. We have a scam here. I'm a member of the Health Underwriters Association here in Nevada, Clark County.
Yeah.
And every time we get a new chairman or chairperson, we end up all getting emails saying he needs money right away. Send it over. So this guy, Chris, this was last year. He's a friend of mine. So if he asked me for something, if he needs a couple $100, I'd send it to him.
Right.
But so I called him on the phone. I said, Chris, I'm away right now, but if you really need it, I'll have the money for you at my office. And I left him. He calls me back. He goes, Pat, that's a scam. So now I actually played a game with that scammer. And, I'm one of those guys that will enjoy screwing them over because I hate what they do. But more importantly, Dean, I worry about the senior citizens who wire money. I mean, some of the stories I've heard, your so-and-so and your family is in a hospital. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that I've heard.
I know people that have gotten scammed. So here's a typical example of someone that I know that's gotten scammed. I know a guy, and he's related through marriage, but he's in his 70s now, and he's on the autistic spectrum. But he was an accountant. He actually, made it to college and was an accountant and lived in the same apartment in Queens his whole life. his whole adult life. Went to the same restaurant for breakfast every day. That's the kind of guy he is. Worked the same job his whole life. You know, probably did a good job. He knew exactly what to do. He was probably a great employee. But, you know, he retired. He's in his 70s now. And he got one of these phone calls. And they scammed him for $20,000 or $30,000. And I don't know. No one
understands. There's no insurance
for that.
You lose.
But
once that money gets out of your hands, you're never getting it back.
You're toast. And now he won't answer his phone anymore. You know? He refuses to answer his phone. But those are the kind of people that get harmed. And there's people that are just kind of clueless or, you know, imagine someone has a little dementia or someone thinks it's real. I mean, some people think it's real.
Well,
a lot of seniors
will pay. For example, I had a guy years ago. It was his mom. She's about 85, 88 years old, around that area at the time. May she rest in peace. But they would always call her up. He had to really put the clamps on her money.
Yeah.
Because she was definitely spending money unnecessarily in the thousands.
So why can't something be done? That's what I don't understand. Like,
you know, it's a great question.
Why isn't there some technology, some form? In some ways, I think Trump should make a phone call to Pakistan and say, we are sending the drones if you don't stop. You know, stop these calls to the United States to scam United States citizens right now, or we're sending the drones. I don't know another solution, and maybe somebody out there knows a solution could happen.
But you know, you know what the problem is in our system now? The penalty doesn't suit the crimes anymore. We make it too easy for these people
to get
away with murder. It's just, to me, that's the problem in itself.
And then the phishing scams on your emails are terrible. I mean, you've gotten some of those phishing scams.
My wife's work, the one guy there, he's an executive. He's done some crazy stuff where they almost lost their whole system, the banking system. I mean, they almost got put in where they took over the system, and you know what they do is they hold it for ransom.
For ransom, Well, hackers will hold your system for ransom. They don't mess around either. Those guys.
No, not at all.
But in case somebody doesn't know what phishing scam means, a lot of times you get an email and it'll look like it's PayPal, for instance, and it'll have the PayPal logo. It'll look exactly like PayPal, but it's not PayPal. PayPal would never do that. They'd never send you an email and ask you for your information. But they send you an email and they say you need to go in and change your password immediately, and if you click here, they'll redirect you to a page that looks like PayPal, but it's really not, and they have you put in all your information, and then they have all your information and then get into your PayPal account. They do the same thing with bank accounts. I've gotten them from Wells Fargo, I've gotten them from US Bank, I've gotten them from PayPal, and you have to be really careful. You cannot answer. You have to delete those right away when you get them.
Let me go a step further. Here, this happened to me yesterday. I had to do something with, we're going to start doing that podcast, so I got my computer all prepared. Well, I made a mistake. I wanted to call Apple customer service.
Right.
Well, if you do that, the first thing that comes up is www.justinanswer.com. Ask anything, anytime. Ask online experts. Well, when they answered the phone, he goes, "Hello." I said, "Is this Apple?" "Oh yeah, this is Apple." and I immediately hung up the phone. I knew that was wrong. You got to go right to Apple Care to avoid that problem. And Apple Care is all over. But the thing that's amazing is that's the very first thing you see is at the Apple line.
Right.
And the second line is, so you got to go down. For senior citizens, when you're looking for information for Medicare, right? I'll do this right. Well, I have the computer in front of me. Medicare questions. Let's say you put in Medicare questions. Sometimes people want to find out stuff right from Medicare.gov. But the first four spots or ads, and 9 out of 10 people don't see the AD. They click on get the facts about Medicare, find the right Medicare plan, stuff like that. You got to go to, you have to get the answers for your plan, you need to go to Medicare.gov. And these are the kind of mistakes so many people make. And before you know it, you're giving up all kinds of information over the phone that is not supposed to happen. And it's scary.
Right. So people just need to be aware. And I don't know why. I don't know what we can do to stop this stuff. It should be much easier to stop. It seems like it should be easier to stop.
But is it?
And I know there's people that advertise apps that will stop spam phone calls. And there's you know, you can set your email up to stop getting what they look like spam emails, but it doesn't get all of them. I haven't found anything that gets all of them. And so people are constantly getting through. It's amazing to me. But
well, how about now? Your phone, you see, you'll get a phone number. So, no, the phone rings and it says, you know, possible spammer or scam.
Right.
I erase it. But then somebody calls you up and sees you. I mean, being a salesman, you're going to answer the call.
Right, you answer a lot.
And it's always a sales call or of some sort.
Right.
Frustrating, man.
It's very frustrating. So I just want people to be aware. I mean, it's terrible. We don't have a solution. There should be a solution. Our lawmakers should be more on top of stuff like this because the people who get hurt can't afford to get hurt.
Well, but how about your kids have cell phones and right. They get these calls? What if they make
all
mistakes?
All the time they get them. It's crazy.
And their mistake can jeopardize all the parents, the families.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
And good thing, you know, my kids are well aware of it. Most kids are, I think. And, you know, but sometimes there's predators going after kids, too, is the problem. And we've talked about that before, but there's so many scams that are going directly after kids. And whether it's, you know, a lot of times it's pedophiles, which makes it really bad.
Well, what's scary is that TikTok situation that was going on, right?
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people, by the way, I just update this. It's on the TV here.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes are crushing Florida State 35-3 in the first half.
Right. Wow.
Unbelievable. Sorry about
Miami
that.
Miami looks good.
Yeah, they look really good. They're back.
And
Florida State, they look more like, you know, the Sisters of the Poor, but that's all another story.
Right.
But, you know, we're looking at all this stuff going on. I really wonder why there isn't a system out there that could protect the average person, specifically the senior citizens of America.
Right.
They're the ones that are the preyed upon because they're the easiest ones to nail.
Yeah. I don't know why our lawmakers can't deal with stuff like this, stuff that really helps people.
You know? Dude, not only that, I mean, I'll go one better than that. My business partner was up in Canada.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks to see the family. Now he has American insurance. He's no longer covered in Canada, so he has to go in and get Eliquis without insurance.
Right.
So they gave him a 90-day supply for $320, which is really $250 American, $260 American.
Right.
But with insurance in the United States, it's $1,500 for 90-day supply that he can't get. He's got to buy it every month, and it's to me it's and that's with insurance, and it's like how is that possible? That these things differentiate. I mean, what are these people doing in Washington that they're not protecting consumers? They're not
right.
protecting the taxpayer. I mean, there's so many levels of issues out there. And then you look around at those people that need the money the most end up being the ones that get preyed on the hardest.
Right.
We talked about how banks and their fees.
Right.
Remember when we were kids? We had a bank account. You got 5.5%.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize when you put money in the bank can lend 10 times that amount out, and they're making, that's how they make their money.
Right.
Well, now you put money in the bank, and if you have under $1,000, you're paying the bank money for them to hold your money.
Yeah, they charge a monthly fee. They charge you to take money out of the ATM. And God forbid you go to an ATM that doesn't belong to your bank. They charge you, you get charged twice.
But here's what I don't understand, okay?
Yeah.
With all these junk fees out there, what about the person who has terrible credit that can't open up a checking account? They have to go out and they have to get one of those prepaid debit cards. And by the time they use that card, 15 to 20% of the money on that card gets wasted on expenses before they get to use it.
You have to pay to deposit money on a prepaid debit card. So it costs, if you get a prepaid debit card and you go to, say, someplace like 7-Eleven to put money on your prepaid debit card, they charge you $5 to deposit money. So if you want to put, you know, $100, $200, $500, they charge you $5 to do it. And so right away it costs you money to put money on a prepaid debit card. Then they charge you a monthly fee. And then to have the debit card. So every month money comes off of it that you didn't spend. That's your money that they're just taking from you. And then if you want to check your balance, it's 50 cents. 50 cents every time you want to check your balance.
And these are the kind of things that drive me crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, this is going back a ways, but with the credit card services, this is my favorite credit card story. So this was before when the real estate market, everything was crashing. So I had a credit line at the bank. Let's say it was $10,000.
Right.
And at the time, I owed, let's say I owed $8,500, just an arbitrary number. They lowered my credit limit to $8,000.
Right.
And they charged me an overdraft fee. So I called up the guy, and I call him up on the phone, and I'm like, you put me in this situation. I've never missed a payment. Every time I make a payment is always more than is required. How could you reduce my credit line? And I understand you can do that, but what I don't understand is how you could charge me for being over, and they're charging me like, you know, $60 altogether between being the amount of the money over per day, the whole nine yards. And the best part about it, and I love this, I'm talking to somebody who's not in the United States, speaking in broken English, and basically told me, too bad, so sad. And then at the same time, I called my bank because I wanted to get a loan. I wanted to get one of those modified loans at the time. This is going back many years ago. And once again, when I make the phone call, I'm dealing with somebody outside the United States. And you know what you learn is when you make your payments timely, and you've made all your payments timely, and you're caught up, everything is good, the bank won't work with you and make a deal. The only time they make a deal is when you're behind, you're in arrears. Then they realize, oh, my God, we're not going to get paid. So when I call this guy on the phone, I'm asking for a loan modification at the time, and he goes, nope, too bad. Short sell the house.
Great.
And that's what he tells me.
Yeah.
So with that this was all in about a matter of 72 hours. I turned around and I hooked up with a company to do the refi on my, you know, to do a loan modification. And essentially, I from that point on, I said, you know what? Screw everybody. I'm not paying you. And I will tell you, I got out of my house. I short sold it. I paid $1 million for the house, sold it for $400,000. Semi-custom home. This is a while back, 8 years ago. And yeah, it was unbelievable. But I have to tell you, when I look at the system like that, here I'm trying to do the right thing. They want to smack you in the head, and there's no law and there's no government behind you to help you. And a lot of these banks played games because my loan modification hearings went on for 6 years,
right,
before anything got until I finally short sold the house, which was great. I mean, I'm one of those people who ended up in the black at the end of the deal.
Right.
I lost my downstroke, yes. But at the same time, it worked out well. But the moral of the story is, I'm savvy enough to understand that. But this last week, I was dumb enough to push number one on my phone, and I almost let them have access to my internet.
Right.
And the guy goes, don't touch that. And I got rid of him, and I immediately called my IT people. We did a sweep through the computer. But I almost made the mistake, and here I am knowing what not to do.
Right. You can do it by accident.
Right.
No question.
And those are the kind of things that scare me.
Right. So, you know, when it comes to the banks, you know, you would think the competition would drive prices down, where, you know, you could find banks and bank accounts that didn't cost as much money and weren't costing the consumer as much as you would think they were charging. So,
but they're too big to fail, remember?
Yeah. So the new generation of people coming up have what's called, you know what fintech is?
No.
Financial technology, short for financial technology. And what they call, part of it is, you know, cryptocurrency, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum and things like that, and blockchain, you know, the blockchain that is used for Bitcoin. And then they're now calling it DeFi, which is short for decentralized finance. So, you know, they're trying to put banking online, essentially, is what it is. It allows entities to hold a copy of a history of transactions and, you know, at a central source so that, you know, there's no, you know, so you can limit transaction fees. It can all be done on the computer.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure you've heard some of the rumors that part of the COVID issue is that they want to get away from cash and they want to have all your money will be on a card
swipe.
So the government would have total control, and it would really make for an ugly world because for those people out there who hustle for a buck on the side, you give them a couple $100 cash to do some work. Those days would be gone because you would have to pay them with a card,
right,
and everything is accountable, and the government would have a way to track money and tax money.
What Bitcoin is saying, no, with blockchain technology, there's no way for anybody to track it but yourself. You know, it's up to you to report it to the IRS. The government can't do it. That's the whole idea behind blockchain. So that way you can transfer money all over the world and anywhere you want. So, you know, Bitcoin is mainly used for either one, speculation, or two, underhand,
How secure is Bitcoin?
It's pretty secure now. I mean, that's the whole point of blockchain. It's incredibly secure.
And I mean, I know a lot of people were investing in it with the idea that their money would be like they're buying a stock for $100 and went up to $1,000 in value. I mean,
yeah, well, that's the thing. Bitcoin's value goes up and down. It's very volatile,
which is very scary.
So it's a volatile investment, and it's gone from just in the last few years, it's been as high as I think 18,000 or 19,000, and as low as 2,000 or 3,000.
Yeah, I mean, I almost bought in. I got called a little late, and I couldn't, and I missed out. And I might have made a score, but then I heard exactly what you just said. You know, the fluctuation was dramatic, and you know what? I would end up losing money, so it was pretty scary.
Right. But it's a way to use right now. It's a way to use money without the government knowing, and that's what people are trying to. That's what it's all about in essence. Is, you know, because you know how hard it is to transfer money across, you know, especially to another country. But with Bitcoin, you can just go to another country and access your Bitcoin. And no one even knows.
But, you know, you being the computer guy that you are, I mean, can't you create something for yourself that can protect you from being scammed? And your kids especially?
The only way you can do that is if you're aware of it. I mean, you have to be constantly, on top of everything that you do. I mean, that's really the only way. Be very careful with everything that comes through your emails and every phone call you get. I mean, that's really the only way. I mean, obviously, computer. You know that you have. There's software that security software that you can buy, and most people, especially if you have a PC, have some form of cybersecurity software.
And how good is that software?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good for most things, but not everything. I mean, the hackers are always trying to stay one step ahead of the security guys. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's always that way. For every person trying to protect you, there's someone trying to hack. And, you know, someone's trying to beat it. Someone's trying to beat them, and someone's trying to beat you. That's the way the world works. It's unfortunate, but that's what happens. You know, so you have to be on top of things. That's just the way it is. If you're not, you're likely to get, somebody's going to get you.
You know, the thing is, the world has become such a small place. Because of the internet, computers, and let's be honest, a cell phone is no longer a phone. It's a mini computer.
Right.
I mean, you get an Apple phone. That thing has got more power than it. That Apple phone could probably fly a rocket ship from the 1960s. That thing is so powerful. You just look back and you have to say to yourself, wow, technology is amazing. It's also like color televisions. I mean, remember when the first 75-inch television came out, it was thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're hundreds.
Right.
So it's just, go figure.
It's crazy.
So there's our cue. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more here on Common Ground. And if you've been somebody who's been impacted, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 702-257-5396, 257-5396. We'll stay tuned for more.
Are you spending too much time managing your investment property? For only $75 a month, let Monarch Property Management take the worry away by providing you with full-service property management. When the eviction moratorium ends, are you ready to fight for your money? Call Monarch now for only $75 a month. Yes, only $75 a month. Call Marcella Cazada, 702-412-7189. 702-412-7189.
Kickstart your sex life again. Are you tired of hitting and missing? You're not alone. One out of four men over age 30 have low testosterone levels. Erectile dysfunction affects 30 million men in the U.S., but only about 10% of men actually get treatment for it. Total Health is here to help. Call them now at 725-232-8303 and ask about their free Viagra program to see if you qualify. That's 725-232-8303. Their operators are standing by now waiting for your call.
According to the Social Security Administration, there are over 9,000 combinations for how you can take Social Security. Choose wrong and you could leave thousands on the table. Hi, I'm Ken Murray, founder of Retirement Planners of America. Social Security can be very complex. You can receive a free Social Security consultation. We'll help you choose the option and build a plan to help your money last as long as you do.
Call for your free consultation now. 800-375-1159. 800-375-1159.
Back to work at that J-O-B, the one you realized isn't for you? Well, that's if you're lucky, right? Make your move. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
KDWN, where locals come to talk.
We're back. Common Ground. Name is Pat Casale. I'm joined by my friend Dean Schulman. We talked, the first segment, we talked a little bit about what's going on with these robocalls. Now we're going to change the topic. We're going to go to the Supreme Court. And today we saw somebody named Amy Coney Barrett get nominated by the president to fill in for RBG. And of course, the people on the left are jumping up and down saying no, no, no. And I just find it amazing that some people actually have called the things, some of the names they're throwing at her is pretty unbelievable. The woman seems like an incredible woman, 7 children. I guess she's adopted a few children. I mean, how can you look at her and think she's a bad person? And it drives me crazy.
Pat, I don't think anybody's called her a bad person.
No. Bill Maher last night, I can't use the language on the air, what he said about her last night. Bill Maher is an idiot. He said she's an effing nut job. That's swear to God. It's all over the internet. Trust me. I heard him.
All right.
I mean, here's what I could tell you.
I haven't heard one politician say anything bad. One Democratic politician say anything bad about her. So there's nothing to say bad about her. They just disagree with her opinions. That's all. And the Democrats disagree. Most of the people are in this country are pro-choice. A majority of people, probably 60 or 70%.
Well, I wouldn't go 70. Probably 60.
60, 65. It's most people are in favor of pro-choice, and she's not. She's
yeah.
Not
but here's
pro-choice.
The thing. You know as well. There's two things I'm going to point out for you. It's because the two arguments that I'm hearing right now, which one is absolutely wrong, and they have no clue what they're saying. Actually, there's a better chance if she's there to get an opinion or a decision with regard to the Affordable Care Act on November 10th. The lawsuit for the Affordable Care Act is going to be heard by the Supreme Court.
Right.
If they end up in a 4-4 tie, it reverts back to the lower court, which already repealed the law. And that would be a problem, as out of Texas. And I think the law needs to be fixed.
Vote, no.
I actually this week, and I was going to email it to you as well as Denise, I was asked by the White House team to provide them with a health care package, a health care plan, so to speak. And I did. And I can cut rates about 50% with covering pre-existing. And I addressed everything across the board. I mean, the way the Affordable Care Act is loaded up, it's absurd. And there's a lot. It's like everything these people do in Washington They don't look at what they're talking. They load up these bills with all these other factors, which actually impacts the race. For example, maternity is included on all policies. If Dean Shulman and Pat Casale get pregnant, I want to be there because we're going to be very rich. I just want to know how we're going to deliver the kid. Why would we be covered for maternity? The factor, the people, the biggest thing I heard, women shouldn't pay more than men. They should pay the same. That's not true. There's a mathematical formula as to why women pay more in younger years than a man. Premature birth scares the bejesus out of an insurance company, right? But right. Did you also know they're also throwing around pre-existing it's no factor. It's the biggest factor out there. If you sneeze, you're pre-existing. No. The pre-existing condition exclusions prior to Obamacare weren't for blood pressure or cholesterol. I could get people insured. I've done it many times. However, they were for cancers and stuff like that. Now, what people don't know, on an individual plan, they were more limited than a group plan. No group plan, HMO, had pre-existing. The carrier issued the policy. There was no pre-existing right. for any HMO plan.
Right.
Point any of service.
Plan. All group plans didn't have pre-existing.
Right. Now, PPO, you could have a one-year waiting period for a pre-existing condition that you may be getting taken care of. But see, they throw this out there like, oh, you can't go to the doctor, you're screwed. And then, of course, I have videos that one person in California specifically, and another one was in Virginia, Maryland. The person in Maryland is probably the most interesting story. I would sue the insurance broker and probably shoot him, because what that broker did wrong to the insured is that she left her job to go become self-employed. And instead of selling her a policy before she got sick, he sold her a short-term plan, and then she contracted an illness. Then she's uninsurable under the individual marketplace. If the agent would have just sold her the right policy from the beginning, she wins. That's on the healthcare side. But and then the guy in California, the insurance company said, and every time you talk to an insurance company, go to the doctor in case of emergency. Not all claims are going to be covered, but make sure you get taken care of. This guy had been diagnosed with cancer, bought an insurance policy, and didn't disclose the cancer on the policy application. So sure, it was issued, and then they rescinded the coverage. It was Blue Cross and Blue Shield of California, and I mean, it's always the insurance company is the bad guy. Under the Affordable Care Act, the partnership between the insurance company and the federal government is a real problem. So what they did is they put in a thing called the medical loss ratio. How that works is that the insurance company on individual and small group has to spend 80 cents on all dollars they take in a pool, in that entire pool. If they don't spend that 80 cents on a dollar, you get a refund. Now, my business, as a business owner, I'm going to get about $4,000 refund from the insurance company because my pool of business was profitable for the carrier. Well, here's the problem. In the past years, insurance companies would actually raise rates the next year to recoup losses from the previous year. They can't do that under the law right now. If they put out bill rates right now and the plan loses money and they can't raise rates to recoup that loss, next year they got to charge the 80% again. At the maximum, they got to spend the 80 cents on a dollar. And then out of that 20%, they got to pay all their fees, et cetera. What I suggested to local politicians, lower the medical loss ratio for the individual and small markets to 70%. And by doing that, rates will automatically go down 10% for everybody in that marketplace, and that would be a windfall. Very easy, very simple. But there's a lot of things tied into these healthcare laws, just like when they were looking for money back east with regard to PPP, they tie all these other things into it. That's a problem. Now, with regard to the abortion, people have to understand the only way the Supreme Court can hear or discuss abortion is if it goes through the lower courts and it keeps getting appealed up the ladder.
Yeah.
And until that happens,
there's probably 50 cases right now. They will hear it. They will hear it at some point. And Roe v. Wade is in jeopardy. And whether it goes back
I honestly
state,
don't think that'll happen, but
no,
they've been saying this for over 50 years.
It's going to happen.
I don't know how you can say it's 100%.
Pat, listen to me. When it comes to the ACA, they're going to vote and they're going to repeal the ACA. She's already said she's
so
going to repeal the ACA.
She said that.
What?
Coney Barrett said she's going to repeal the ACA?
She has said, well, she's been in favor of repealing the ACA.
But when she said repealing it, did she say they want to replace it with something better?
No. It's not up. She even said in her speech, the Supreme Court doesn't decide policy. They just decide.
What they decide is the fact that when the government passed the ACA and they said it wasn't going to be a tax, and then there was a tax penalty for not having the insurance, that was a lie, right? That was a penalty. That was where there's loopholes within this law that are going to get shot down. But let me just say this to you. Replacing the ACA, covering pre-existing conditions is the most important thing. The only thing that really needed to be done pre-ACA was to cover people with serious pre-existing conditions.
With any pre-existing conditions.
But here's what I will tell you. My suggestion would be to have an open enrollment period for health care every 5 years, maybe every four. And what you do, if you don't buy your insurance during open enrollment, you pay a heavier premium in years 2, 3, and 4. So, for example, let's say the rate was $100 and you didn't buy the insurance, you're going to pay $150 a month thereafter. The only people that wouldn't buy insurance is somebody who didn't want to pay the premium, and the only person that would buy it later on is somebody who got sick, and then they got to cover the bills. If you did this, the insurance companies are protected from adverse selection. And if you did it every 4 or 5 years, you can lower the rates because you could put them in blocks like they used to do, 20 to 24, 25 to 29, 30 to 34, et cetera. I put together an association plan here in Clark County and for the realtors, sole proprietors, and they did it 9-year blocks. So if you were 25 to 34, the rate was the same. 35 to 44, the rate was the same. Where the rates didn't differentiate from the individual plan was 25-year rate to 25 wealth exchange. They were similar. But when you got to 28, 29, 30, the rates were super cheaper, and they were nationalized PPOs. What the ACA has done is limited access to care. I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you get a plan through the exchange, an HMO, your network isn't the same HMO network that you buy off exchange. The rates, by the way, are the same. The only difference is you may get tax credits.
So let me ask you a question. Could you just improve the ACA? Because that's what the purpose was.
Here's what I will tell you. You know what's funny? The answer is yes and no. The answer is you can improve. We can fix what's broken, but nobody's of an open mind to it. The word Affordable Care Act is an oxymoron because rates are now 400% higher than they've ever been before.
If any plan,
you're a perfect example of that.
That's going to take on pre-existing conditions. It all has a price.
No, here's what the problem was. Let me tell you why the rates are so much higher. For real, no BS. Has nothing to do with pre-existing. Has nothing to do.
Matter.
Listen to me.
If you're going to insure pre-existing,
you got to learn to listen real clear on this because what I'm going to tell you will change your thought on this. Listen.
And I can tell you that I talked to someone who might be more knowledgeable than you.
I'm going to tell you right. And we work together. And I'm going to tell you, the pre-existing exclusion wasn't the reason the rates are so much higher. It's all the other guarantees that are making. Like when they use every time you use the word free with insurance, you get screwed. You and I get screwed. For example, an unlimited wellness benefit, unlimited, is unrealistic. If you put a cap on it, mathematically, you lower the rates. Why? Because insurance companies, when they get unlimited, you're going for all these different tests. Then they got to constantly process and deny. You know the biggest scam under the Affordable Care Act is a colonoscopy. Colonoscopies are free when you go in, but if they find a polyp and remove it, you got to pay for the whole service. Did you know that?
I had one recently, and I don't think it worked that way. But
did you have a polyp?
Sure. What?
Did you have polyps removed?
Yes.
Did you hit your out-of-pocket maximum earlier in the year?
No, I hadn't yet.
Because I'm here to tell you that I got polyps I had to pay. Now, in my bill, my plan...
Well, I had to pay, but I just think I had to pay for the colonoscopy.
No, under the law, if the colonoscopy is part of your annual wellness, it's free. Now, if it's due to a medical reason, you got to pay your deductible coinsurance.
Mm.
So what I put in here is change annual physicals from unlimited to $2,500 annually, right? This change will also reduce premiums approximately 3% across the board. Mm. This is due to the insurance actuary tables. Using this formula, we can also cover the colonoscopy biopsy using the annual cap, mammographies, annual lab services, annual x-rays. But here's the thing. When you put unlimited, it gets abused, right? Insurance companies have to protect themselves. Rates go up. Maternity. Did you know, and this is the best part about maternity, did you know If you were to buy a policy without maternity and you had a normal vaginal delivery, it's about $6,000. If you have an insurance plan under today's standard and your deductible is $5,000 or $7,000, you're going to pay the same $6,000.
Right, I know.
Now, how is that? The only reason that that policy premium is so much higher for that pregnancy is for premature birth, which would scare the insurance companies. Get this. Prior to ACA, if you were pregnant without an without maternity and you had complications of maternity, it was automatically covered by law. It was automatically covered by law. Those are things that people don't get. You know, the other thing, that's there's another problem out there. You put in there
but Pat,
free this, free that. When you every time you use the word free, you actuarially change premiums upward. You can't use the word free. It doesn't work.
Right. So here, listen, Pat, people are scared of pre-existing conditions. That's what everyone talks about. That's what everyone is scared of. You know,
show me one politician in the last 5 years, either side, that's for pre-existing condition.
That's what do you mean? That
would support a policy with pre-existing condition exclusion.
Who, name one politician.
One politician.
I'll name
support,
two right off the bat.
Give me
Mitch
two.
McConnell and Lindsey Graham.
They do not support pre-existing. They support covering those people with pre-existing. They've never said they want to exclude people with pre-existing. Never.
And they'll change their mind.
They never said that. They have never.
They're hypocrites.
I'm telling you, no politician right now in the last 7 years has come out and said they support having a pre-existing rider. Not one. Exclusion. Not one. Not one politician.
Pat, if the ACA is repealed, you repeal pre-existing conditions.
Not necessarily. It won't happen. That will take about. You know that takes 2 years to do, right?
No, it won't.
Yes, it will.
It could take effect right away.
No, it can't.
It can.
It cannot, and it will not. You're wrong. 100% wrong. You're not even 99% wrong. You're not 99 to 99.
And
you're 100% wrong.
In, it's still, they can,
the rates for the new policies have already been filed.
I know.
Starting November 1st, all the policies are coming out, right? And the rate this year, they have an open enrollment extension from the 15th of December to the 15th of January. The answer is nobody will be excluded from getting health care in 2021.
January 15th.
This year, 2021, there's not one American that has to worry about losing their insurance policy. Not one.
Well, I think if you have an insurance policy,
no,
you lose
I'm
it.
Telling you, you're going to enroll. You enroll between November 1st. And December 15th, you will have insurance for 2021.
Right.
Come and the following year, you will have insurance as well. There is no chance you're going to lose your policy.
When is next open enrollment? June?
No, next open enrollment is this November 1st.
No, after that.
November 1st the following year.
Oh, so there isn't one in June?
No.
Oh, so next November, you won't be able to.
That's not going
to
happen. You watch what happens. You realize the insurance companies, how much money they've spent and invested in the Affordable Care Act to make it work for you and I?
Well,
there's no way you cannot just shut it down. It's first of all, here's the other thing that you got to realize: insurance policies will roll over if you are already enrolled in a policy.
Right.
It would automatically renew.
Right.
You won't have a problem.
I understand that.
The only person or people that will have to worry is somebody who decided they didn't want to buy insurance.
Right.
Which, by the way, 65 to 75% of the people that are uninsured.
Yeah.
Choose not to buy insurance.
Right.
They don't want to pay.
They take the risk. I know.
Right, and then when they get sick, they want to bitch, moan, and groan. I can't get coverage.
Right.
This is the problem.
Well,
lack of accountability.
Mandate, but the mandate didn't work, and they don't even.
Let me just tell you this: I don't think the government has any right to dictate how you and I spend our money. First of all. But I do think the government. You want me to tell you my government's number one problem? The number one way to reduce premiums is to fix the prescription problem in the United States.
Right. Well, that too.
No, that's the number one. That
well,
one
that
area
visits,
would reduce premiums by 25%. Do you know when I wrote health insurance 20 years ago, the prescription portion of a premium was about 2-3%. Now it's 30-40%.
Right. It's my understanding that prescriptions and the ER. The ER is just as bad. People use the ER as a doctor, and you know the ER. Then you know how much you know what they charge when you go to the ER. It's exorbitant.
And you know what? That's another problem. And explain to me why the hospitals, big pharma, and whatnot, they don't want to disclose the fees up front. Like,
yeah,
why would you and I go to a hospital and not know what we're going to pay, what we're going to get charged?
Right.
How is any business possible to give out discounts of 80-90% and stay profitable? A hospital bill can be reduced up to 90% in some cases.
Right.
I know for a fact that a Dr. Jones here in town, a gynecologist, had a piece of equipment in his office that he no longer kept. He started to do the service. He had the services done in the hospital because he got paid 400% more money. And he couldn't pay the equipment off for the amount of money they were paying him doing it in his office, which was like 10 bucks.
Right.
I mean, these are the problems we have. The other problem in the United States, and people have to face fact, we in the United States are a for-profit nation for healthcare,
right,
which is not the same anywhere else in the world.
Right. Well, one of the things that AOC is fighting for. That's what the Democratic Socialists are fighting for, you know, national healthcare.
So when they passed the Affordable Care Act, explain to me why they didn't fix the prescription problem then when they had the opportunity.
I have no idea, Pat.
You know what got me about the Affordable Care Act?
What?
Out-of-pockets went up 125 to 150%, depending on whom you were. So in your case, you have a family exposure potentially this year of $15,800. Next year, it's going to go up to $16,100. Forget the premium. How many people can afford the 16 grand for a family? If you got a family of four.
Right. I don't.
Right now let's throw the premium in there for you and your family.
Right, I
and you're and you're and being your agent, I can't get into too deep.
Yeah, don't get into details.
But I will sit here and say you specifically bought a policy that I recommended, and you thought, Pat, why don't I get this better policy? And I'm like, it's not better. You're paying more for, and you're not getting more coverage. These are the misnomers that are out there, and unfortunately, that's the Affordable Care Act.
Right. Well, can you make the Affordable Care Act better?
It could easily be done. Here's the reason that we have partisanship in this country. It all began with that one law, because that entire law was signed by one side against the other side's wishes, and the other side was dismissed. You go to the back of the room, we'll take care of this. And that's really the problem. And Jonathan Gruber, who came out and spoke clearly, talked about the Affordable Care Act, and he got slaughtered by Cummings in hearings down there, because he's like, why would you do what you did? And Jonathan Gruber clearly stated, if we would have made known prior to the bill being passed all these little mechanisms, it wouldn't have flown. It would have never flown. If they would have just passed covering pre-existing conditions and the riders and the carriers could have raised the rates accordingly, it would have worked. The problem we have in our healthcare system is that administrative, we're telling businesses that are publicly traded, we're limiting them on what they can make. But by the same token, we put all these guarantees in there, and we make it difficult for an insurance company to make big money. And the trickle-down effect has impacted you and myself. I want to talk about my family, my wife and I. So last year, our expenses would have been over $35,000 if I would have had the surgery I needed, and I didn't do it. I need both of my knees replaced, and now I need my shoulder. So in 2021, depending on circumstances, my plan is to get my knee done and then get my other knee done and my shoulder, because I pay one, I get the other two for free. Now, the one thing the ACA has done greatly is actually giving you true cap on your exposure. So your out-of-pocket maximums this day and age include deductibles, co-pays, and for prescriptions and doctor visits.
Right.
Right. That's a great thing. But the bottom line with the ACA is that the reason that it's failing the United States is because it's not it's only affordable for 20% of the population. That 20% would be those people that are about 11.8% are under the federal poverty level, getting tax credits, that which also there's two tax credits you get when you buy insurance to the exchange. You get premium reduction, and you also get cost sharing reduction. So if you're making $18,000 to $20,000 a year, your premium should be about $100 a month, and you're out of pocket capped about $2,600, give or take. Whereas the average person right now is out of pocket would be $7,900, and that premium for that same person could be $500 a month.
Right.
So those are some of the benefits. And the other thing is about 9% of the population were truly pre-existing conditions. Like, in other words, when I say 9%, I'm talking about cancer, diabetes, et cetera.
Right.
And so the Affordable Care Act could be improved. How? What they should have done several years ago is fix the prescription problem. So right now, what they're talking about in Washington is they've come across with a new bill. I read it's 150 pages with regard to how they're going to cut rates 10%. And what they're going to do is they're going to get sick. There's like the first year they'll have 25 drugs on this list, and then the next year it'll be 50 drugs. But it's going to take 3 years. And I'm like, why should it take 3 years for you to pass a bill that requires certain drugs to be the same in the United States as they are in Canada, or they are in the UK, or Australia, or in India? How is it possible that India can tell Hoffman LaRoche that cancer drug that you want to charge $5,000 is not affordable? We need a generic, and they make them a generic. But what about the United States? There's some speculation on the vaccine. Some of these countries that are third world cannot afford to pay a big premium for the vaccine. They're already looking for a generic for those countries. My problem is, why are we, the United States of America, the suckers for the world? This is where our leadership has failed us, on both sides of the aisle.
Right. Well, I would agree with that.
So when I talk about this, I'm not talking about this.
No one solved the pharmaceutical problem.
And it should. That's the asinine thing is, I've had my clients buy their drugs in Canada for years. Did you know couple years back, there was a plan to allow Americans to buy their drugs in Canada? Big Pharma told Canada, if you guys participate in this, we'll cut you off. So the drugs I could get from my clients were cut off for me. I couldn't get them at a discounted price, up to 60 to 70% off.
So, hey, Pat, how do you feel about Medicare for All?
Medicare for All won't work either, because, again, you're going to ration care. In those countries with Medicare for All, what they do is they put a budget, they put a value on the person.
Right.
So, for example, I'm 59 years old. I have stage 4 cancer. The cancer, to try to help me could cost $500,000. My value is probably $800,000.
Right.
They may spend that money on me. But let's get another person who's 69 years old, whose value might be $450,000. They're going to make that person comfortable, and they're going to what will happen. Mother Nature will take its course.
So what if everybody had Medicare for All, but if you wanted to buy an extra policy, you could?
Well, Medicare right now for all, you do have to buy an extra policy. It's called a supplement.
Right.
And the insurance companies are making a killing on Medicare Advantage plans. They're screwing. They're making more money with these Medicare Advantage plans than they are regular insurance.
If you're willing to pay for an extra policy to make sure that you're covered for, you know, those kind of things that you want.
But what you're talking about then is the rich end up having the best of the best.
Right.
They get private rooms, and everybody else gets stuck into a dorm. If you ever see what the dorms look like,
it's like
a gymnasium. When you go see cots across the floor.
A lot of hospitals don't even build, semi-private rooms anymore. Hospitals only build private rooms right now.
You know what's funny about the United States? You know, one of the big profit items for doctors and medical societies and medical services in the United States is, medical tourism.
Right.
And what happens, all these rich people from around the world come. We always hear how the United States is not very good at this or not very good at that. But damn it, don't they always go to UCLA, or they go to Sloan Kettering, or they go to Cleveland Clinic or whatever, MD Anderson or Mayo?
A lot, you know,
and they pay cash.
I went to the Mayo Clinic. I had to take my wife to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota one time. And there were more private jets from all over the world there than you can imagine.
My thing is, why can't all Americans have the best access to care if they paid into the system?
That's what everyone says. That's what, you know, you're saying that. That's what, you know, the Democrats are saying. That's what they're...
And you know what's funny about Medicare? Do you know they blow at least $60 to $80 billion a year on fraud?
Yeah, I'll bet.
And Medicaid is like $400 billion a year on fraud.
Yeah.
The government cannot manage its way out of a paper bag. And we got to end the story there because we're going to have to go. But... I will sit here and tell you, I'd like to see the government step aside and let the insurance companies work properly, and certain things that we can put out there is transparency. I enjoyed talking to you about this more than I did the first half hour.
Okay.
You have a good week. I'll talk to you later. And we're going to upload our podcast this week.
All right.
Denise, thank you very much. And to all you out there, if you found it boring, I apologize. We'll try to come up with something more important and more meaty next week. You take care and have a great week.